at any given time, if I'm on the bus, I'm going to see a Superman t-shirt, a Captain America shirt. And so these big pop culture movements, you have millions upon millions of people around the globe pouring energy into them. And as a practitioner, look at all that free energy. Working with like kind of capital D death is, you know, as I was saying, it's a lot more about life. A lot of the people I know that are, you know, kind of like death cultists are actually the most life-affirming people I know. And people that are like, all about the light all the time, are in fact death cultists.
Welcome to Shit My Soul Says, a podcast about all things woo. I'm Jillian.
And I'm Rosalie. And we are obsessed with anything having to do with alternative spirituality.
And we want to share our obsession with you. Because woo is fun, but it's more fun with friends. I'm a reincarnation coach and energy worker.
And I'm a practicing witch. So we've been around the woo block a time or two.
Each episode, we will be digging into a different topic, from tarot to third eyes to energy healing.
We'll share our personal experiences and offer you practical advice for your own practice.
So whether you're new to all of this or queen of the pagans,
that's me.
Everybody is welcome.
No witch card needed. This is inclusive woo. We just want to laugh with you, learn with you,
and talk about some woo shit with you. So let's do that. Let's talk about Shit My Soul Says.
All right, shall we get going?
Yes.
Let's get started.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to Shit My Soul Says.
Welcome to Shit My Soul Says.
We are very, very excited.
Very excited.
Because today we have our first ever guest.
We have a guest. Yay. Hello, Emily is joining
Hello.
Us.
Hi, this is Emily Carlin. She is a witch, teacher, and mediator based in Seattle, Washington. She has been my witchiest friend for many, 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 many years.
We love witchy friends.
Many. She currently teaches one-on-one online and at in-person events on the West Coast.
During her 20-plus years of practice, Emily has published articles on defensive magic, culture magic.
Pop culture magic.
Pop culture magic. I don't have my glasses on because the light reflects off of them. Pop culture magic, Santa Muerte. Did I say that correctly?
Yes.
Perfect. General witchcraft and more. So for more information to check out Emily, go to her website. It's e-carlin.com. And we will be putting that in the show notes, of course. Just look below for that. And then she also has a book that you should check out called Defense Against the Dark Arts. Just right up here. Somewhere up here. There. So look at it. Check it out. Well, I'm sure we'll talk about it.
Wonderful book. So
yeah.
Is it? So Emily, is your book is it still being published?
You can still get it on Amazon.
Okay.
I think it's technically out of print, but there are still copies available.
Great.
And at worst case, you can always get the Kindle version on Amazon.
So we'll link to that as well in the show notes.
Yes. All right. So Emily is a longtime listener.
Since the beginning.
Yay!
So she knows about our weekly woo.
Weekly woo!
But Jillian, why don't you tell our listeners
yes.
and viewers about the weekly woo.
The weekly woo is something that has happened in our life or that we've gotten up to that is woo, magical, mystical in some sort of way that has made our life a little bit more delightful. That's what I'm going to say today.
Well,
sounds good.
I'm dying to know, Jillian, what is your weekly woo?
Okay. So we're in this new office space, right? I moved in August, September, and it's November, December. Months, they mean nothing. Time means nothing. Anyway, when I moved in, when I was doing energy clearing of the space, because of course I want to clean the space so it's lovely and fresh, the alarm went off, this beep, the smoke alarm went off. And I thought, well, that's really interesting. that like there's something energetically going on just only as I'm doing the energy portion.
Right.
And then I thought, okay, well, you know, there must be a battery out. I'm going to hear it more. Didn't hear it again. Did not hear it again until last week. And I was doing a meditation and it went off.
Okay.
And I haven't heard it at all again until now. And also on top of that, so as we're setting up, this string of lights, which is like, oh, we need to turn it on, was turned on, which hadn't been turned on. So clearly we have a helpful entity around or spirit guide or something.
Something. I mean, the building is
the building's haunted.
Haunted as fuck.
Yes. And I could tell that when I was doing the energy clearing that there was like a guy that was kind of checking things out. I was like, you can go away now. This is my space. Yeah. You can hang out someplace else.
So there is something in the building. I've never like felt anything off in your space.
Yeah. No, it's been great in here.
But I've definitely had some other interactions with entities in the building. So.
Well, and I just wonder too, because I called in these audio techs and maybe it's like, yeah, we're here.
Sure.
We're helping you out. I called in some video audio techs and this is just their way of communicating with us.
Yeah. I love that.
I think it's appropriate.
Techno spirits make their presence known. Yes. Always.
Yes.
They have a way.
And that's the way. It chirps at me.
Chirps and beeps and lights and fans going faster or slower.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to look at all of these things now.
Snap at the fans. More, they're turned off.
More weekly woos to come. Anyway, that's my weekly woo.
Emily, do you want to give your weekly woo?
Sure. So I try to go for a walk every day because I work remotely. And otherwise, I'm just in my house all day, every day. And on my regular walk, I walk through an area that a murder of crows lives.
Oh.
And I always bring them peanuts.
Nice.
So in shell, roasted, unsalted, because that's better for them because salt is bad for birds. But I always bring them peanuts to the point now where they know me.
Of course they do.
And if I have left the house without peanuts, they inform me I have made a mistake. And so the other day I was out for a walk and I forgot peanuts.
Oh no.
And I have one particular crow that's kind of the ringleader. Mm-hmm. Like, he sits on a particular light post and he waits.
Oh.
And he'll caw at me and wait for me to throw out peanuts. Or if I've gone to Starbucks, if I have a bit of, you know, croissant or muffin or whatever. And if I throw something out, he'll call the rest of the crows to come and partake.
It's murder time.
Yes. I have some amazing videos of, like, 100 crows just following me like some kind of cloud of death.
I love it. Amazing.
It's fantastic. But the other day I didn't have peanuts and he just swooped me for 10 straight minutes.
Oh my gosh.
Would just swoop around, land in front of me, caw. I would show him my hands and there was nothing in them. And he would like look huffy at me, wait for me to pass, then swoop by me again, stand in front of me, caw. So the next day I went back with peanuts to say I was sorry. The crows remember.
They do. Have you named him?
That's my question.
No. Okay. No.
It sounds very intentional.
He is like the leader of the murder. Mm-hmm. And he is in no way a familiar to me.
Okay.
Right. He's just someone that I have a good relationship with.
Okay. Yes.
Just stay on his good side.
Well,
yeah. Let's talk about your weekly, Rosalie.
So I have a friend that I hadn't seen in a while and hadn't heard from her in a while either. And I was starting to think like, okay, I hope she's doing okay. I hope she doesn't hate me, you know, just sort of like what's going on. And I went to sleep one day and had a dream which featured her.
Okay.
Very heavily. And she was just making out with all sorts of dudes in my dream.
Okay.
And she has, or at least at the time I was like, she has this boyfriend that she lives with. She's been with him for years. And I woke up the next morning, a couple hours later, I get a text from this friend. And she's like, sorry, I haven't been in touch. Things are crazy, blah, 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 blah. And my boyfriend and I broke up.
Ah.
And I was like, I knew it. I knew she'd broken up with him.
She's ready to get out there.
Yes. My dream told me she had broken up, and I obviously was right.
Psychic dream.
A little psychic dream.
I love it.
That's my weekly woo.
Yay.
All right. So, Emily.
Emily.
Emily. We would love to know how you got into woo, how you got into magic and witchcraftery.
Yes.
Well, you were there for a lot of it.
I know. Most of it, I dare say.
But I don't know.
Yes, but for those that were not there.
Which is most of the people,
yes. It was many, many years ago, mm-hmm. a little place called Wellesley, where we went to undergrad. And during first year orientation at Wellesley, you have a bunch of like excursions you can go on. And there's a couple of weeks where you're on campus before the rest of the student body comes and you get overwhelmed by them. And the trip I chose was Salem, Massachusetts.
Yes.
Okay. For some reason, this is news to me because I also chose Salem. And we didn't interact.
We did not interact at all.
During
that particular trip.
No.
Well, I wasn't on that trip, but I have been to Salem, Massachusetts. For what it's worth.
Also known as Pagan Disneyland.
Yes. Her undergrad was also in Boston.
Yeah, it was in Boston University.
There you go. But so that's when I picked up my first book on witchcraft, and it was all neat, and I was all freaked out. And then it was on Halloween, or Samhain, as they say. And I saw a now common friend of ours descending the staircase with a boombox in a cape. And I'm like, I don't know what you're doing, but I want to be there. And I followed her to the Pagan Students Group and my first ritual.
Yes!
And the rest is history.
It was like your own little magical crow leading you there in all of the black cape, trying to tie the things together.
Yes.
And that was also not when Emily and I met, because we didn't meet until Beltane or May 1st, which is when I joined the Pagan student group.
At the holidays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's actually very fitting that I started in Samhain and you started at Beltane. So it works out real well.
Because Emily is very dark, shall we say?
Well, she wrote the Defense Against the Dark Arts book.
And I tend towards more healing energy. Mm. She tends towards more death energy. Mm-hmm. And
hence the whole Santa Muerte thing.
Yes.
And so actually, we'd love to know a little bit more about Santa Muerte and your practice with her.
Santa Muerte is a folk saint in Mexico. And for those that are not familiar with folk Catholicism, it's real different than capital C Catholicism. In a lot of Latin America and Mexico specifically, you'll find a lot of syncretism between indigenous tradition mm-hmm. and Catholic practice.
Mm-hmm.
We see in Europe how the Catholic Church said, here's a local tradition, we shall make it ours. Similar things happen, except it's more the indigenous people going, yeah, sure. We'll call her Mary. Same goddess. So Santa Muerte is the folk saint of death. And in folk Catholicism, folk saints are seen as those that can intercede between people and the divine. Mm. And how people think about that and how they look at it is very, very different for different people. You'll see a lot of folk saints are, you know, like Nino Fidencio is a healer. You know, there's all kinds of different miracles that these folk saints can perform and help you out. And they really fill in the gap. Whereas the kind of the official church has a lot of rules. And unless you're a specific kind of person, you don't get help from them. Everybody else goes to the Folk Saints. Makes and sense. Santa Muerte is both death and all things kind of harrowing, but she's also the one that embraces everybody. So if you are rejected from mainstream society, from systems of power, you know, if you're queer, Santa Muerte is someone that will always accept you, even if, you know, you might feel uncomfortable. Like, if you're, say, a sex worker, you might not feel comfortable approaching the Virgin Mary. Sure. You personally might have some qualms.
Maybe.
You might feel weird about it.
She might be a bit judgy, you might feel.
Or that she just doesn't understand you.
Yeah.
You know.
She may appear as your disapproving abuela. Who knows? So you might go to someone a little bit less stern or particular.
Or pure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the purpose of Folk Saints is to intercede for the lowly every person. Mm-hmm. Because if the priests won't pray on your behalf, you need somebody to do it in Catholicism.
Yep.
And the way Santa Muerte works in the United States is kind of a hybrid. Mm. Like in Mexico, they have a very specific practice. They have specific liturgies. As it's come into the United States, it met with kind of North American witchcraft. And there's a lot of overlap in the, let's say, target audience. weirdos, outcasts, queer folks. Who would have guessed? For all that she is death, you know, she's got a scythe, she's got the scale, she's got all that stuff. But the practice of working with her is all about life.
Mm.
It's actually incredibly life-affirming. It's the, I'm going to die. Everybody's going to die. None of this is going to matter. Mm-hmm. So what I do today is my life.
Mm. Yeah. Okay.
And that's kind of what it's really about. It's the, I'm going to do everything I can for my life while I'm living it, because I'm going to die. And once that happens, I have no control over that. That's in someone else's hands. It's actually a really, really positive thing. At least the way it is practiced in most of North America and most of Latin America, there's definitely acceptance that you will see a lot of negative associations, particularly with, say, narcos and criminals, because she accepts everybody.
Mm-hmm. Right?
You could be a terrible person and still work with Santa Muerte. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean you have to be, but you can.
Because
so.
I mean, if you accept everybody, that means
everybody.
Yeah. Well, and you know, the thing that I one of my questions is going to be about your perspective on death, because, right, we talked about
that's
that.
That's a thing I do.
Yeah, you like that stuff. I like that stuff, but in a different direction. And so I was wondering what your perspective was on death. And so I think it's really beautiful, this idea of that, you know, because so often so many religions, and even the way that I believe, really focuses on like how you're living your life so that you have some sort of a reward, or that you're getting someplace afterwards.
Yeah.
And that what you're really talking about is that death, instead of it being a signal of like, live your life well so that you can get something later on, it's about like, get the wonderful juice of life now. And that's really what death kind of calls us to do in this life, which I think is really beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Like there's lowercase d death and there's like uppercase d death.
Yeah.
Death, lowercase d, is kind of like the tower card, the death card, in the metaphorical big change kind of thing, where it's, you know, clearing out the old so you can do something new, to reinvent, to reinvest, to change things for the better. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, lowercase d death. Capital D, you know, end of life death. I certainly have personal thoughts and opinions about what happens, given my practices. I am a death witch. I work with a lot of death deities, not just Santa Muerte. Working with, like, kind of capital D death is, you know, as I was saying, it's a lot more about life. Mm-hmm. Because when you're dead, the slate gets cleaned. And so you'll live your life for your life, for the people that matter to you, for the impact you have, you know, for the growth you can have, for the experiences you have. It's interesting that a lot of the people I know that are, you know, kind of like death cultists are actually the most life-affirming people I know. And people that are like, all about the light all the time are in fact death cultists. Because they're all about, we have to do these things now to like better the karmic wheel. It's like, no, live your life now. My personal opinion is if you are in a focus on what happens after death mindset, that is the kind of mindset where the end can justify the means. Or you could be like, no, no, no. Life is about living while you're alive. And helping other people while they're still alive.
Right, right. Like, it's not about helping them to die.
Thoughts and prayers don't do shit.
No.
It's actions that matter.
And so when people die, like, are you of the mindset that you're like, yes? I mean, I don't mean it like that.
I mean, it depends who they are.
Maybe I do mean it like that. Like, I don't know. For me, okay, I guess. For me, when somebody dies, I'm not like excited. I don't mean that. But by the way, you know what? Of note, I don't know if you've been experiencing this, but it seems like a lot of people are dying lately. I've had multiple people in my life that are like husbands of people that have, there's some exodus happening is what I'm thinking. Anyway, I'm, or obviously really horrified and sad for everybody that's left behind, for the wound, for the loss, for the absence. That's tragic. For the person themselves, I'm happy for them. Because of my belief system and what I believe is on the other side and what that experience is like. I'm curious, since you've got such a death thing, what your take is.
You know, it really depends. Example, my grandmother passed away a number of years ago, and I live in her beautiful house now. She was 90 years old. She had cancer that had metastasized into her spine. She was having a rough go. She was ready to leave. And so when her suffering was ended, I was very happy for her. I was very sad for my father that was crushed by the loss. But I was happy for her. She had had a good life.
Okay.
You know, things where I see, you know, the thing that happened in Texas where a shooter shoots up an elementary school.
Yeah, not great.
Not great. No. That's not okay.
No.
No. No, that's bad. Yes. And all those kids, that's bad.
Yeah, agreed.
Capital B,
agreed.
Bad. Agreed. You know, that's, you can think of it, there's a Stephen King novel called Insomnia.
I think that's one of the few I've read.
it's a great book. But in that book, there's like the three fates. And there's like life, and then there's, you know, death at its proper time. And then there's the crazy dude with the rusty scissors making terrible things happen when they're not supposed to. Death at its proper time in its cycle of nature is a beautiful, natural thing. When somebody with rusty scissors cuts the wire at the wrong time, that's as close to heresy as I can think.
Yeah. Mm.
Because it's just against the laws of nature.
Yeah.
You know, it has happened. It is a natural thing. Life goes on, but it sucks.
Yeah.
And so it really, really depends. You know, when people are snatched away too early, you know, that's how we get ghosts. You know, when things happen at the wrong time, when things aren't completed, when the emotions are so strong, they hold on. Those are not necessarily good.
Yeah.
You know, I do a lot of cemetery work. Like here in Seattle, we have a beautiful cemetery called Lakeview, and it's where all of the city founders are interred. And I love to go there and have chats with them. And I do a lot of like citywide protection spells, and I work with the founders of the city.
Oh, so cool. I love that.
even the really Christian ones that have dubious thoughts about me. I gave him tea. He was okay with it.
That's great.
But, you know, there are lots of folks there that lived good and happy lives. And if you call on them, they're happy to have a chat, you know, have a spot of tea. And everything's cool. And there are some of them that are lost and they need help. And then there's some of them that are bad about what happened. It really, really depends. It is not a one-size-fits-all thing.
That's very true. Yeah, that's a really good point. Because even in, you know, my belief system, because I believe that, like, we plan an exit point in our life. But that doesn't mean that that can't be interrupted. That if somebody comes in and murders, shoots, that's not the plan for my belief system. So it would be one of those running around with the rusty scissors, snipping away at things.
Yep.
Yeah, and tragic.
So I'm also really curious to know kind of what your thoughts are with this Santa Muerte work that you do. How do ghosts fit in with that? Like, is being a ghost considered part of the natural process or natural world, or is it something totally different?
That's more of a Latin American culture question.
Fair enough.
But in general, you know, for those that don't know me, I'm Puerto Rican. Well, I'm half Puerto Rican, half Ukrainian Jew. I had a very fascinating upbringing.
Yes.
But I identify a lot more culturally with my Latin American side, and it is real common in Latin America to believe in ghosts. Because they're freaking everywhere. In Latin American culture, it's very, very common for there to be spirits. And they're just part of what happens. And it's, you know, it's just the same as anything else. It's in the natural order of things, you should kind of go from the different phases and you should progress and you should move forward. And some people get stuck for various and sundry reasons. If you're a Catholic, maybe it's because they were cast out of blah, blah, blah for doing XYZ transgression. Or if you're indigenous, they got lost and were misled by a trickster. You know, there's a lot of different points of views of that kind of stuff. Things like ghosts and spirits and nature spirits are just kind of part and parcel with the landscape. So it's not a thing you have to reconcile.
Okay.
They're just, you don't have to reconcile the fact that there are trees and asphalt. They're just part of the landscape.
They both exist.
And does Santa Marte help with ghosts at all, or people that are stuck? Is that somebody that you can go to intercede? No. She's like, you're beyond. I'm over you.
The thing to really remember is there's a difference between death and the land of the dead.
Oh, interesting.
Death with the sickle is dying.
Yeah.
The active part of death. There's a whole underworld, and that's a whole different set of folks.
You're somebody else's problem, basically, is what she's saying.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm the gatekeeper. Once you get beyond, good luck to you.
To a certain extent.
Okay.
You know, depending on how close to her you are, obviously, she can put the right word in for you.
Okay.
Once you get past meeting her face to face, you then move on to a different jurisdiction.
Okay.
I'm also curious to know, obviously, Santa Muerte is a Latin American saint, folk saint. Jillian and I are very white.
We are.
I hadn't noticed.
But I'm just, in case there are people out there who are really interested in Santa Muerte, you know, is that a closed practice? Is that something where, you know, if I wanted to get involved with Santa Muerte, would it be like, no, stick with your Europeans?
Yeah.
Or would it be like, yeah, she's welcoming to even colonizers, right? Like,
yeah. That's a great question.
That's a great
and different
question.
People are going to give you different answers to that.
Fair enough.
My personal opinion, she accepts everybody. She doesn't care. If she can take, you know, the drug kingpin and human traffickers, really?
She's going to put a stop white people?
At, you know, lack of melanin? Really? Seems a little picky. But at the same time, there's a really big difference between working with the Santa Muerte, with La Santísima on your own, and being a part of the traditional community. That's a different thing.
Okay.
Can you? Yes. Mm-hmm. Are there going to be some hoops? Also, yes.
Yeah.
You know, there are some really good books available in English, but there's a lot more available in Spanish. And that's kind of by design.
Of course.
So, yes, you absolutely can. And she is, of all the, you know, death figures I have ever worked with, she is definitely the kindest and most okay. welcoming of mm-hmm. all of them.
Good to know.
It's very that. Much in her nature. But yeah, you absolutely can. Segueing with that, you know, you get into things like cultural appropriation.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, the definition of cultural appropriation is when you're taking something out of context from a culture to the detriment of that culture.
I love that definition.
Yeah, give us an example. I think this is great because I think that, you know, amongst, I will speak for all white people right now. You're welcome, white people.
But I have a worse spokesperson.
Thanks. But I think that it can often be really hard. Back in the day, it was a different story. Yep. But now it's trying to figure out how to be sensitive and how to be aware. And when you're really excited about something and really interested in something and not knowing, like, is it okay for me to be in this space? Just my presence in this space can be heavy, right? Or have mm-hmm. a story or have a meaning behind it. And so it can be really hard to know how to navigate all of that. Yeah. So yeah, I think this is a great question.
Yeah. And it's something that comes up a lot in North American paganism in particular, because boy, howdy, do we beg, borrow, and steal.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Wantonly. The main reason that you have to add the doing something out of context to the detriment of the original culture. Mm-hmm. It's the, if you have had a personal one-on-one conversation with a deity and they say, you can do X, Y, and Z. Of course you can do X, Y, and Z. In the privacy of your home that you don't talk about with other people.
Mm-hmm.
If you then go up to someone else from a specific community and tell them they're doing it wrong because in your personal conversation with that figure,
that's bad.
That would be to the detriment of the other culture. Look at something like dream catchers.
Mm-hmm.
Dream catchers are specifically an Ojibwe practice, and they have been universalized and commercialized to the point of meaning nothing. That is at the expense of their cultural meaning to their original people.
And on that one, I want to throw this one in because you see it a lot being misused, and I'm certainly guilty of it myself, is the spirit animal. My spirit animal is a...
We've all done it.
Right?
We've all done it.
Yeah.
And there's more and more awareness of like, oh, that's right. Because to the point that you're making,
it's glib.
It's making it like little or cute or, you know.
It's trivializing.
My spirit animal is Dolly Parton or whatever. It's like, that doesn't mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are things that are a bad idea, TM. so even like for me working with Santa Muerte, I'm not Mexican. She is a Mexican spirit.
Yes.
Before I ever showed up for like a public rosary or any of that stuff, I have some Mexican friends who are practitioners. I'm like, dude, is this okay? Am I allowed to do this? And they're like, thank you for asking. Yes, you can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're not sure if it's appropriate for you to show up at a particular gathering, ask the organizer.
Mm-hmm.
They want you to ask them. As someone who has organized many, many events, for the love of God, ask.
How do they find out? How do they get involved? How do they start to discover this little world that we're opening up to them?
And it's a matter of really, you have to look. Sometimes there are local pagan shops that have the ability to have rituals and open events and that sort of thing, but a lot of them don't. And so there's just kind of this big question mark about how do you find that community? And I still haven't had a lot of success.
Well, I think one thing that came to me is that a spell should be done. You should do a spell to find community, or have it, you know, ask your guides, ask your gods, your goddesses to help you connect with people to get a little bit of help on the other side.
also say that if you're really looking for community, you might need to be the catalyst.
You might need to create the community.
Yeah.
Sometimes, yeah.
Because people are looking for it now. I think, right, a lot of people got very introverted. I mean, not just in the pagan sense, but just in general, I've sensed that people kind of went inward, and it's taken a long time for people to come back out again. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, you haven't seen the episode yet, but we did an episode on Trump and the election. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we talked about was as how to really navigate the next 4 years is to really start to focus on building those connections, those collaborations, the way that you can come together to make the kind of world that you want to see instead of just letting the world happen to you. So hopefully, yes, I think that's probably going to be a theme of season three is connection. Find people.
That's why we're having guests.
Yes.
Right. Is because we want to reach out to the people who are our people or are adjacent to our people.
Yes.
And one thing I would definitely say, because a lot of newbies are afraid to reach out to people that seem like they're like the people in the community. I've had people be like, oh, I'm so sorry to bother you. Can you help me with that? And I'm like, why do you think I put myself on the internet with my legal name? It's not because I'm shy.
But then there is also the experience that we've maybe all had where you do meet somebody who's kind of higher up in
and they're a dick.
Yes, that happened to me.
Where or they're very dismissive, or they're like, you kind of have to go through these hoops in order to just even begin.
Yes, I will say two things. So one, A, that happened to me. So I'm like witchcraft adjacent right now. I dabble, I borrow pieces of it. But there was a time that it was something that I was very dedicated and interested in being Wiccan. And I remember, and I had only read books. And I remember calling, I found a number, I found somebody to call. And I pronounced it Coven. Instead of Coven.
Oh.
And she was quite bitchy with me about my pronunciation. Like, what did I know? I had only read it. Yeah. And that was a stopping point for me. And I didn't really kind of continue on. It kind of wounded me a little bit.
Yeah.
But the other thing, so that's thing one I wanted to say. Thing two I wanted to say, I think the takeaway message here is that there are a lot of dicks out there. And that if you are finding people and you find a dick, keep moving on.
Yeah, keep looking.
Because there are non-dicks out there. There are vaginas out there. I'm a vagina.
Welcoming.
That's what I had to say. Welcoming, warm space.
But no vagina dentata, unless that's your thing.
No, that's a whole nother topic. Rosalie, don't get teeth involved. For those of you who don't know what that reference was.
Yeah. Vaginas with teeth.
Yes, vaginas with teeth. Do you?
Different episode. One of the things that I always talk to when I have people that come to me that are new to the community, I try to give them, here are the red flags. Mm-hmm. When you experience them, run.
Yes.
And it is sex, money, control.
Yes.
These are your three things to look out for with any group and or leader.
Mm-hmm.
Do they want sex? Do they want money? Do they want control of your life?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As far as the money goes.
Well, there's differences with money.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, but just as far as the money goes, it's the sort of thing where like, I'm not going to go to a ritual where somebody's like, I'm leading the ritual. It's like $100. Fuck you. No, I can lead my own ritual for free. But I would go to a ritual where someone's like, hey, suggested donation of up to $20 for the space rental and the food and this and that and my time or whatever. So that's kind of a different
story. Yeah. Yeah. That's or it's, you know, pay $5 and then you're going to get this cup and this candle so you can actively participate, blah, blah, blah.
Right. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Fair payment for services rendered.
Yes.
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 Handing over your life savings, paying $1,000 to get rid of a curse. No.
And the other thing is too, another for me a red flag is love bombing. Because that's something that's very much done in cults.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because these are all good. These three things are useful for cults as well. And just in general, a lot of
And that's things. The main problem with a lot of groups. They're little mini cults of personality, whether they rise to the level of a capital C cult or not. The good thing about this is for every horrible group, there is one really good group trying desperately to let you know that they're there. And there's all the people that were turned off by the terrible group. Mm-hmm. You can find them. There are a lot of good people out there. You do have to make sure you're talking to them before you commit.
Yes.
And any group where you have to commit before you can see what they do, also run.
Yes. Now,
there are mystery traditions that have all kinds of rules and closed practices that have all kinds of hoops you have to join through. Make sure you understand what you're getting yourself into if you're approaching one of those. And they are valid. They are valid traditions that have been around for a long time. But understand, you are taking a calculated risk.
Yeah.
And it is up to you to decide whether or not that risk is appropriate for you at this time.
Yeah. And you can also leave at any point.
Yeah. Listen to your gut. I think is listen to your intuition, too. Yeah. If something feels a little off, listen to it.
Yeah.
Okay. So now transitioning to a completely different topic.
Let's keep spinning around here.
You have a very eclectic and diverse set of interests.
Yes.
And one of the things that you, at least in the past, have practiced that I always thought was really cool is pop culture magic.
Yes, I'm so excited about this because I hadn't heard of it. So I did a little bit of research ahead of time. I was like, yes, I am here for this. I have a little bit of a Wonder Woman thing. I don't know if that comes into play at all when it comes to pop magic.
Absolutely does.
But I was just like, she's Artemis inspired. I'm here for it. I'm here for
her name is literally Diana.
It's Diana.
Exactly. Exactly. What was inspired, right? If you hear the story. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Anyway,
that's cool. I mean, I would happily live in Themyscira, so.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So tell us about pop culture magic and what it is.
Okay. So pop culture magic, once again, everyone you ask is going to give you a slightly different answer. For me, pop culture magic is harnessing popular energetic thought. Mm. You know, like right now, what are the things that are super, and we've got Wednesday Addams, we've got Marvel, we've got the Rings of Power. Mm-hmm. Those are big, like, pop culture currents.
Yeah.
At any given time, if I'm on the bus, I'm going to see a Superman t-shirt, a Captain America shirt. And so these big pop culture movements, you have millions upon millions of people around the globe harnessing and hooking into these ideas, pouring energy into them. And as a practitioner, look at all that free energy.
I love that.
It's kind of like reading by someone else's campfire.
Oh, I like that analogy.
You know, you don't need your own campfire to cook your hot dog. If someone else has got a bonfire going and they're cool with it, they're not going to use all that energy. So that's kind of one aspect of pop culture magic is, you know, just hooking into what's popular, what's in the
zeitgeist.
The zeitgeist, yes, exactly. The other part of it is things you love deeply. And it does not matter how many other people like them. It can be just you. It doesn't matter. You know, the example that I tend to use is like your D&D character. Say you've been playing a campaign for 5 years. Say you've got a video game character like in World of Warcraft that you've been playing for 8 years now. How much time, energy, thought, angst have you poured into this egregore? This
thought form,
this sigil of something that is really important to you. You know, whether it's, you know, your favorite book, whether it's a character you love, whether it's a scene from a movie, whether it's the fan fiction about the thing you love, doesn't matter. It is a thing that you're already dumping your energy into. Use it.
I love that.
I think that there's a lot of people who are in sort of the witchy world who tend to get really nerdy. And by nerdy, I mean like really hyper-focused on certain fandoms. So I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And something that I think you had told me at some point was, it's like back hundreds and sometimes thousands of years ago, cultures had their superheroes. Mm-hmm. They were
Zeus. Kukulain.
Mm-hmm. Kukulain. You know, they had their supervillains.
Yeah.
And all of those, the myths, the religion, that was their pop culture at the time. Mm-hmm. But now it's like there aren't that many people pouring their passion and attention into the Morrigan. Sure, you have some people, right? Mm-hmm. But
how many people on the earth know who Darth Vader is?
Exactly.
Most of them.
Not saying you should be working with Darth Vader.
You can work with Anakin Skywalker back in the day.
Or, you know,
or post-redemption.
The redemption of Darth Vader, those sorts of things. But yeah, like, people typically don't have, like, shirts that have, you know, their favorite
Demeter.
Yeah, Dionysus for that. Dionysus wants to be acknowledged.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wait. He should be on every wine glass in the world.
Yes.
Honestly. We've entered a different era of culture where you don't have to be cool about the things you like. Mm-hmm. You're allowed to just unabashedly like them as much as you want.
Yes.
Why pretend? I'm obsessed with Marvel and Doctor Who and Star Wars and all that stuff. I love it. I'm such a geek. I work in cybersecurity. I'm a geek. I work with Tony Stark when I'm coding. It's great.
I've got a question, right? So again, thinking about the people that are watching and listening, that might not be pagan, right? They're not going to be doing rituals, etc. But they're like, I really like Tony Stark.
Yeah.
Or I really like something else. Wonder Woman, exactly. Yeah. How can I work with them? How can I work with them without having to necessarily like cast a circle?
Absolutely. And I usually don't when I'm working with them. You can start by literally having a conversation. Put on your little daydreaming brain and imagine having a conversation with the character.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is that simple. Like, if you're like the creative writer type, write out a story. Mm-hmm. Have that conversation be a fanfic. You know, there's no reason that you can't do it in whatever way most connects you with that thing that you're trying to work with. Back in the day, before we knew more about Joss Whedon, Buffy the Vampire Slayer was very important to young Emily. and when things would go bump in the night, I would have a conversation with Giles.
Oh.
Her watcher, who knew all the stuff about all the things. He couldn't necessarily fight them, but he knew what someone else would need to do. So I would literally just kind of be sitting in my bed, daydreaming, having this conversation with Giles about this problem I was having to help find the solution. You don't have to like light a candle, have a spirit house, and blend a custom incense. You don't have to do any of that. You can if you like it.
Yeah.
You absolutely can.
And one of the things I like about the pop culture magic and working with people and characters from pop culture is that most, if not all of them, don't demand gifts from you. Mm. Like certain deities, the Fae, you need to be prepared to give them an offering according to what's appropriate for them. And with pop culture magic, you mostly don't need to do that unless it feels right. You know, you don't have to be like, hey, Giles, I got you a copy of this demonology book.
It would be a good cup of tea.
So it's just not part of the practice with them at this point. Mm.
If you're just having a conversation, yes, absolutely. Once you develop a deeper relationship, you will usually develop some kind of quid pro quo energetic exchange in various and sundry ways. But that reminds me, it's really super important when you're doing pop culture magic to know which version of a character you want to talk to.
Oh.
Think about a character like, say, Batman. Mm-hmm. How many versions mm-hmm. of Batman are there?
The dark version.
Adam West
mm-hmm.
versus
Robert Pattinson?
Or Ben Affleck? Or
will always be Michael Keaton for me. I actually find a lot of people that work with Marvel characters mm-hmm. will work with the cartoon versions. Mm-hmm. Like the Avengers Assemble cartoon.
Sure.
Because that's like what they grew up on, and they're very unproblematic. Because they're cartoon characters.
Right.
I work with a version of Marvel Loki.
Mm-hmm.
That is not the Norse Loki.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That is
different guy.
The one from the series. Not the one from like this movie and this movie. The ones from that movie. Harry Potter's a great example. Are you going to work with the Harry Potter character from The Cursed Child? I don't think so. You know, Dumbledore was various stages of an amazing father figure and a complete dick.
Yeah.
Depending on which book we're talking about. And that also helps you separate from the creator. Yes. So you're Joss Whedon's, you're J.K. Rowling's. You can separate mm-hmm. this energetic, beloved character mm-hmm. from the creator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, you know, one of the things that I keep on thinking about is this idea that a friend of mine said this to me recently. Like, do you think that we create the gods? Right? Mm-hmm. This idea that we pour energy into something to create something in the world. Mm-hmm. And so when I think about pop culture magic, that's what I feel like. We have created these gods, if mm-hmm. you will, these beings. And so, yes, while the author or the director or whatever has certainly put a lot of their energy into it, there's
take on a life of their own.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. So it's an interesting recipe. So I think that's really beautiful and important to kind of think about, because I can imagine a lot of people out there are going to think about it as if it's like this depersonified sort of being God, but it's something that we've all poured ourselves into.
Yeah. And they shift over time.
Mm.
You know, one of the things that I like to think about, if I'm going to work with the character, there's a difference between kind of like living lore and kind of static lore. Like, The Hobbit is a book that was written in the 30s. The author is dead. Mm-hmm. Yes, they can make movies. Yes, they can build fore and aft. But that story is never going to change.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so that's a very stable basis. Characters like, say, Deadpool mm-hmm. are completely reinvented every 3 years. Mm-hmm. But if you're in a living fandom where the source material is still coming out, mm-hmm. what happens when the writers have a bad take and spoils it?
Mm.
You have to be able to version to the one that was good and completely separate it from what comes after.
Yeah.
And then you're going to end up with your own little version of things. Mm. It can be incredibly empowering because you have this thing that is based on this thing with all this energy that all these people know, but your version of it is special.
Yeah.
And different. And yours. And only you know about this. And only you can do this one. That's kind of cool.
It kind of makes me think of the Spider-Verse.
Yeah. Very much.
Right?
Very, very much. It allows folks that don't necessarily connect to Gods of the Harvest and ironsmithing. Perhaps they can empathize with Harley Quinn and her love of sandwiches. I work with Tony Stark for my coding needs, and I will still work with Ma'at when I'm working on social justice causes.
Mm-hmm.
You can do both.
Yes.
Get you someone that does both. That's called being an eclectic witch.
And I think that that's also like being an eclectic woo curious person.
Yeah,
or
absolutely.
Who's like dipping your toe into this world. You can definitely be like, okay, well, I don't even want to look up who Ma'at is. That's how do you spell Ma'at, right? Yeah. I mean, I know how to spell Ma'at, but
she were queen of the pagans.
Sorry, Emily, I am the queen of the pagans.
Oh, that's fine. I'm the witch in the cave around the corner.
I love that. I want to write you a letter, The Witch in the Cave Around the Corner. I want to just send that through the post office and see how
it's The Witch at the edge of the village that people don't talk about, but that everyone knows and goes to in secret.
Yes.
That's me. So here's the thing that I really love about this conversation. I think throughout the whole thing is that we're talking about things that have a real strong set of believers and followers and adherents, but that doesn't mean that you can't participate in them if that's not your, like, I love that we're giving options to people to say, like, okay, you can participate in the world of magic. You can participate in the world of, sorry, I just stopped and I'll come back to why. You can participate in the world of magic. You can get a lot of benefit from it. You can play with Spider-Man. You can do all of these things to tap into magic in the world without feeling like you have to be a pagan or a death witch.
Yeah. I think most people are not death witches.
I think probably good. We want to keep our death witches special.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Emily, this has been amazing.
It's fascinating. There are so many more things we could be talking about.
So we absolutely love that you've been here. Just a reminder that Emily's website is e-carlin.com.
Mm-hmm. And you can go and pick up her Defense Against the Dark Arts book while it's available on Amazon or the Kindle version.
Yeah.
If you want to find out about how to deal with all sorts of different entities and beings.
Yes. And Emily does magical consulting mm-hmm. and teaching.
And workshops. So check her mm-hmm. out and find out all about the wonderful world of death and pop culture and so many other magical things.
So, Emily, this is the portion of our show where we set intentions and we talk about the intentions that we mm-hmm. set last time.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you weren't here last time,
that's so right.
You didn't set any intentions. But if you would like to tell us maybe what your intention is for yourself over the next 2 weeks, I'm sure our listeners and viewers would love to know.
At the time of recording, it is the holiday season. Mm-hmm. And I would like to appreciate what I have this holiday season and recognize it for the gift that it is.
Beautiful.
I love that. I'm gonna tie on to that because mine is also seasonally related. My intention for the next couple of weeks, because it's early December right now, and it's the dark time. And although we've been having a lot of light, a lot of bright sky, but in any case, the lack of sunlight really tends to wear me down. So my intention is to bring a lot of light into my life over the next couple of weeks. Yeah.
My intention is to really focus in on my business. I know this is kind of a theme. If you're watching the first three episodes, you're like, shut up, Rosalie, we get it. But to really focus on my business and to have my website completely updated by the time we release our first three episodes. Yes. This is episode number three.
Yes.
Of season three.
And
have that all set up so that when you're watching this, you can be like, oh, I'm gonna go to rosalieforest.com.
Check it out.
And it's actually accurate.
Yeah.
So that's my intention.
I like it. And I feel that I have to talk about the intention from last week.
Yes.
Because in the last episode, I said an intention. I'm like, oh, I'm so excited to check in on the next episode, see how it went. And I think it was something along the lines of like magical, wonderful things happening in my business. And I don't know that has happened so much. It's just, except for the fact that I've had like this immense amount of like creative energy coming through me. Like, I feel like I need to clone myself. In fact, even my friend was feeling the same way himself. And he said, now he kind of feels like that's maybe why, in his perspective, I think the universe like created us is because there's just so much that he can't do it ourselves that we had to create all of us to go out and experience it. So I want to create people out of me, I guess, is what I'm getting to. I want to create people so I can get all the things done.
So basically you want to split yourself into multiples.
Yes. I want to contain multitudes and I want them to get to work.
I think you already do contain multitudes.
Thank you. But I want them to get to work.
And actually, so last time I said my intention was that I wanted to give myself grace because I had been putting a lot of pressure on myself. Mm-hmm. And interestingly, I found that as soon as I gave myself grace, things started to flow so much better.
I love that.
So I actually had a really wonderful experience. It was based in no small part on your channeling your guides to give a little talk. Emily, you're going to have to just wait till the episodes are out.
Yes. December 21.
But I decided, because I have guides, but I've never really intensely worked with them. So I decided to channel them the way that you did, by typing, by just like meditating and typing. And when I did that, just flow. It was just incredible flow. And just, it was like, they're telling me how the universe works and like what I need to be calling myself in terms of my practice.
I love that. I'm so excited.
And just really getting into some really juicy, magical stuff. And I keep getting these like little, it's almost like a little pull to like, okay, no, it's time for you to, to do this. And that reminds me too, Emily's here. And back when we were in college together, it was just this constant, like, I'd get a phone call and be like, hey, I'm feeling something. We need to do something magical. Could you come over to my dorm room? And it was like, it'd be like midnight on a Tuesday. Yeah. And we'd have an 8:30 class, but like, okay.
But we do tarot readings for 5 hours.
Yeah.
And stumble into our 8:30 science lab.
At least they had coffee in the dining halls, right? But just having that kind of tug, that it feels really nice to feel that again.
Well, and that's why I say, like, people should talk to their guides, because they're gonna leave you alone, right? If you're not talking to them. But if you're going and talking to them, then they talk back.
Yeah.
And then you can have a dialogue, and then you can get help, and then you can be inspired, and then your life can like friggin' open up. It's amazing. I'm excited about it. I get a lot of energy. I feel a lot of.
I know for a lot of people that can be, you could feel really silly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it comes back to, does it help?
Exactly.
Doesn't matter if you don't need anyone else's validation. Does it help?
I'm going to out you a little bit. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you used to use Frodo as a guide.
Did I?
I swear you did.
It wouldn't surprise me, but I have no memory of that.
Oh.
Frodo erased his tracks.
I know I've used Doctor Who.
I don't remember who I had 20 years ago.
I may have.
Okay.
But no memory of it.
The point is that you could combine spirit guides
and
pop culture.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And just be like, you know what? I'm not comfortable with like a deer or a spirit or an angel or whatever.
Yeah.
I am comfortable with Bella from Twilight.
Okay.
What advice could you possibly get from Bella from Twilight? Rosalie, you know better.
Oh my goodness, Bella. I was like, oh, I cannot, because I could feel where it was going. And I'm like, who is it? Don't interrupt, Jillian. She's going to come up with somebody amazing. Bella from Twilight.
First thing.
Okay, I'm so sorry. Gandalf. I'd go
Guide
with Gandalf.
Of bad choices and indecision.
You know,
if the shoe fits, I guess.
All right.
Look, I made a mistake. Okay. Well.
Okay. So I have a few things. I have a few asks for our audience. Okay. One, I want to know if you do, or if you are thinking about working with pop culture magic, like who would you work with? Mm-hmm. I'm kind of curious about that. Also, if you have any intentions you want to share them. Right. And then, of course, as we always like to ask.
Rate, review, follow.
Subscribe. Subscribe so that you put the little bell. So that when we have another thing to talk about, all of these wonderful topics. I was going to reference something specifically, but nothing came out of my mouth. But right, you'll get notified. But yeah, so you know, I'll do all of the things so that you can find out and that you can help us get this hot little... potato. I'm going back to that. This hot little episode into other people's hands. I'm getting away from the hot potato.
So on that note.
On that note.
Tell us, what shit does your soul say?
Yes, what shit does your soul say?
Do your woo.
Yes, do your woo. We did that all backwards, but that's okay. Bye.